FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 24th, 2018. Yes, I know I have a cold. I picked it up in beautiful California. I don't know how that happened, but it will soon be gone. Drinking lots of soup and fluids and all that nonsense. Hey, so gold, silver. Just when you think it's safe to purchase precious metals again, guess what happens? They get driven down, but not by too much. We're in that period. It looks like there's all these bounce backs. Hey, we always invite you to be part of the discussion, part of the dialogue. Love to see your emails in my mailbox when I frequently check my email. So the address is kl@kerrylutz.com, or leave a message on the hotline. Number is 914-424-4142. So I want to take a closer look at what's happening with precious metals. Some of the comments on YouTube, if you're listening on YouTube, you know, I'm starting to sound like a broken record. But hey, a broken record, you know, at least you know what to expect. It's the records that you don't know what to expect from. Those are the problems. So Jeff Clark is with us. Jeff, of course, you are senior precious metals analyst at goldsilver.com. And someone whose life has revolved around precious metals. Welcome back, Jeff.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you, Kerry. Yes, we do have some interesting things and setups happening in the gold and silver markets right now.
For sure. So when you look at the chart, it's stuck in this sideways channel. And every time it gets close to the 13, when it starts bouncing around 1355, approaching 1360, 1365, it's like clockwork. You know something's going to happen.
Yes, it's pretty clear. Gold and silver are both stuck in a trading range, and they hit these certain levels and bounce up or bounce down. So depending on how you measure it, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, they're clearly both still in a trading range. Even though gold has been up year to date, you know, and been up the last 2 years, silver is not. It's trailing, and I have some info about that we can talk about. But this trading range behavior, you could look at it in a different way. And this is how I look at it. I know it's a little frustrating sometimes as gold and silver investors want the price to start moving up. But what the message here is that this is an energy building phenomenon that's taking place. And most technical analysts will tell you that, and it makes sense. And I think a lot of people in your audience know it. The longer this trading range goes on, the more the energy buildup you have. And so when there is a breakout, it's really going to be big. My technical analyst, the guy I use, who has made his living from trading and is a multimillionaire solely from trading, so he knows what he's talking about, says that he's never seen the setup that we have in silver right now from a technical standpoint. He went back even into the 90s when prices were dormant, and he hasn't seen a setup like this ever in his trading life. If you look at the silver price on a quarterly, a monthly, a weekly, and even a daily price chart, you'll see this trading range, and it's getting narrower and narrower. And what that means to him is that this is a very significant energy buildup, and that when the price does break, it's going to be a huge move. You see the same thing in gold, but the charts in silver are even more dramatic in his opinion. So if it breaks to the upside, this current channel that we're trading in doesn't really give a signal as to which way it's going to go, according to him. But if it breaks to the upside, he sees new all-time highs for the gold price. Mm-hmm. So we're in the $1,300 range. A new all-time high would have to hit around $2,000. So this is going to be a big move whenever it happens. I do think it's going to be to the upside. The only way it would be to the downside, in my view, right now, would be if the stock market does have a crash, like in 2008. You remember October 2008, you know, stocks crashed and gold and silver went down dramatically with them. They did end the year high. Well, gold ended the year higher, and so it bounced back immediately, and that kickstarted the major bull market, as you remember. So, but that would be the only instance where I would see gold and silver really breaking down to the downside, would be a sudden, sharp, stock market crash.
Which, let's face it, is always a possibility, especially at the prices which the market has found itself in recent times here. It's just literally gone up and up and up. It's taken a breather past 2.5 months, but really, it's very possible we could see a breakdown in stock prices. But even if we don't, what you're saying is this thing is set up for a major advance in the metals sector.
Absolutely it is. And there's another thing that's going on with silver, and that is we all know that gold has been moving up very little, but it is higher. Silver is not. Year to date, gold is up 26%. Silver is only up 24%. That's since December 2015, since both metals bottomed. Year to date, gold's up 3.5%, silver's only up 1.5% as you and I talk. Mm-hmm. So silver's, clearly trailing gold. So I remember from some previous studies, we looked at the gold and silver price behavior back in the 1970s, that silver did seem to trail gold initially in a new bull market. So I thought, I wonder if that's really true just across the board. So what I did was we did a chart, and I think you can pull it up there. But we did a chart that showed the last five biggest gold bull markets since the 1970s. We put those in a chart, and then we overlaid the silver price over the same time period to see how it behaved. And what we found was that, yes, indeed, in most cases, the silver price starts off initially soft or weak, if you will, and it trails the move up in gold. Now, that didn't happen in every instance. It happened in three of the five. The silver price trailed the gold price in the initial stages of a new bull market. In the other two, it did kind of go along with the gold price. But the point is, we have historical precedence here that the silver price is behaving normally now as it has in the past, that it's trailing the gold price. So this is actually not all that unusual. And so this tells us that if we indeed are at the very beginning stages of a new and massive bull market in precious metals, that silver is trailing is not unusual, and we should hold on and continue to accumulate, because there is a shift is coming, a change is coming, and they're not going to stay here forever. This is not going to go on indefinitely. So,
agreed.
So we're using the time to continue to accumulate.
Yeah, and if we look at silver since, depending how you do it, since mid-2016 figure to present, silver is forming a descending wedge. And descending wedge is very powerful technical formation. And I can see it with my own eyes. I don't consider myself any ace technical analyst, Jeff, but you could see the wedge. The wedge is, the bottom part of the wedge is right around $16, right there. And the top of it, if you go from mid-2016, is 21. If you go from late 2016, it's about 19. But that wedge is almost perfect shaped. And when you have that, there's no greater, some call it a wedge, some call it a pennant, but it's an extremely bullish sign here. Not just talking my book. From what I've seen in technical analysis, in stocks, in every commodity, when you see that that ascending, or rather descending pennant, it means something's going to happen.
Yes, I'm like you. I'm not a technical analyst expert. I rely on others that have been very successful at it. And he's basically saying the same thing. We're all looking at the same charts, and a lot of us are coming to the same conclusion that there is an energy buildup, A, and B, there is a bullish formation that also looks to be taking place. So I don't know when it's going to break out. If you follow seasonal patterns, it probably won't be this summer. It probably won't be till the fall. But that just means you have a very limited time left to buy $16 silver. Because when it breaks out, you're not going to be able to buy silver ever again at $16. It's going to go into a new bull market. And when that mania, whenever it happens, however high it goes, it's not going to crash back down to $16. And by then you'd missed it anyway. So you do have a limited window to buy now.
Absolutely. And you look at the gold to silver ratio, it's right around 80. And another potentially bullish signal there as well.
Yes, the gold-silver ratio is clearly out of whack. It's hit 80 several times in the last 20 years. It's only gone above 80 once. It hit 100 back in the 90s, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And every time it's done this, it's reversed. So this is clearly showing that silver is undervalued relative to gold, which is kind of obvious anyway, when gold's been moving up and silver hasn't.
Yeah.
And
we look at April of 2008, it was right around 82 or 3, I think, and 83.73 to be exact. 10-year silver, you're looking at it. The high was 83.73. The low was 31.68, which took place in May of 2010. And it's been creeping higher ever since. And then in 2016, it came down when silver went up. And then it's been creeping up ever since, or 15, I guess it was, 2015. So it's been going up higher, that ratio, ever since. But it looks like it's kind of hitting resistance now at the 80 times range. So yet another bullish indicator. So what is the best way to play silver? Obviously holding physical, we all know that. What else? Any other ways you see appropriate for Joe Sixpack, average investor who's out there listening?
We're going to play the price here a little bit. I mean, we all want the price to go a lot higher and to make money on it. I just don't really want to use a paper product for that. Mm-hmm. But you can use that if you're solely going to track the silver price. I think the issues are going to be more than just benefiting from a rise in price. I think having actual physical meta is going to be increasingly critical, especially when things start to break down. The economy shifts. We have inflation. We have a geopolitical issue. We have a monetary issue. Whatever the issue is, I think there's probably going to be a series of events and crises. And in each of those, it's probably going to be important that you have some physical metal that is, in your immediate possession and under your direct control to get through and weather that kind of environment. You know, just playing the price may not be enough. You may want some actual physical metal in your hand. And so that's what I do. I only buy physical metal. The other thing I do is I do diversify where it's held. I don't keep any in my home because I'm in the public eye, but
sure. Same here.
Some people could use a safe that's well hidden. I personally don't like using a safe deposit box, but I do have to use that for some of it, since it's so close. Mm-hmm. But we also have a storage program at Gold Silver that I use. I think it's a great way to, it's an inexpensive way to hold it and keep it safe. And then I do diversify internationally as well. So I'm on the board at Strategic Wealth Preservation in Grand Cayman. So I think there's a way to, diversify yourself. You can hold all physical metal and yet diversify yourself really well, and yet keep that option to take delivery or whatever you might need to do at any given time. So that's how I handle it anyway.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I know what you're saying. No, there is no substitute for holding the physical, and to diversify internationally definitely has an appeal if you're in a position to do that. And, save the paper for your speculative dollars, I guess, right?
Yeah, if you want to just play the price and make a trade, well, yeah, I don't see any harm in using a paper product. Just be aware of the risks, you know. If we get into a crisis situation, there's going to be increasing pressure on an ETF or something like that. So I would only use it for a short-term thing. I would not use that as my core holdings for gold or silver. I would only do that with physical.
Yeah, it makes total sense. You got to have a core physical holding for sure. And we're getting closer to the point where that's going to be important rather than where we've been for the past, I guess it's hard to believe it's 7 years already, almost 7 years since gold and silver peaked the last time. The 7-year cycles are very powerful, though, potentially. So something
there's another indicator for you. You know, the 7-year cycle. That's another indicator that we could be due for a breakout here pretty soon. So I think the message for now is don't get frustrated. Don't give up. You know, the same issues that we bought gold and silver are all still in play. And this can't go on indefinitely. It can't go on forever. No trend lasts forever. And so you have a limited window left to continue accumulating gold and silver. And so take advantage of it because someday it will change.
Yeah, I mean, the most efficient producers of silver on the planet, what are they producing at? $13 an ounce now? I mean, it's just, and it's getting harder and harder to find those big deposits. So yet another reason.
Yes. There's going to be some serious M&A, I think, at some point in the gold and silver sectors. But supply that's a whole other topic we could spend hours on. I'm actually researching more of that right now. But it's almost inevitable that supply is going to fall for both metals. And in a crisis, of course, demand is going to rise. So we could easily have a supply demand crunch that is its own catalyst above and beyond whatever else might be going on at the time, whatever event or series of crises that we have.
Yeah. Great point. And yeah, so potentially, and if there's a crisis, that could really dramatically affect supply as well. Certainly would drive up demand, no doubt. So it seems all things considered, the metals really are like perhaps the last or one of the last undervalued sectors in an economy that's been inflating full force since the crash. You know, it's hard to believe it's 10 years since the crash started, Jeff.
Yes, that's a very good point. Something Mike Maloney has spent a lot of time on, the everything bubble, he's called it. And it's really true. Stocks, bonds, real estate's the average home price now is above the 2006 bubble levels. Marijuana stocks are in a bubble. Artwork's in a bubble. So gold and silver really are the only true undervalued asset left out there. And they're not only undervalued, they, of course, can serve as a hedge when those other bubbles pop. So it can be very interesting. I think between now and 2020 is going to be a very crucial time to hold gold and silver, but it's going to be a very exciting time for those of us that do already own gold and silver.
Yeah, agreed. So, Jeff, we want to read your work, find out more about what you're doing these days. Where do we find you?
Pretty easy, just goldsilver.com. It's Mike Maloney's website. It's a great site. It focuses a lot on education. You can go under news or the blog there, and you'll see our articles. We have some very exciting things coming up. I don't mind letting you know that Mike Maloney is working on a new book right now.
Oh, great.
He and I are also writing a book together. So those things will be coming out later this year. He's also working on a major video project. So we have, he's been known as having an educational website for the industry, and that is certainly going to continue in a very big way over the next 6 to 12 months. So it might be worth paying attention to what's coming out of gold silver here over the next few months.
Absolutely. Hey, and we'll always, as always, have a link to your site in the show notes to this interview, along with that chart that you were discussing. And any questions or comments for Jeff, myself, don't hesitate to be part of the show. The email address is kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and for now, the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Jeff, it's always great speaking with you. Thanks so much for coming on.
I love coming on, Kerry. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, excellent. Thanks so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.